Welcome to the Deep Dive. We take complex stuff, break it down, get right to the core. For you.
Glad to be here.
Today, we're tackling what we're calling the two-faced bean.
The soybean.
Exactly. It's kind of astonishing how pervasive it is. You know, chicken nuggets, sure, but chocolate, mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm. And even industrial things like biodiesel, concrete protectants.
Wild. But here's the twist. It's this, like, biological marvel, right? Fixes nitrogen, super nutritious.
Absolutely, a powerhouse.
Yet, it's also tied to some really big problems. Ecological destruction, social upheaval, even health crises.
That's the paradox.
So our mission today is to unpack that. Why is it so hidden? How does that create this accountability gap? We'll trace its journey, the impact, the power behind it, and, you know, maybe look towards a more sustainable path.
It's quite a story, and a lot of it starts with how it's grown and processed. It's really an industrial system.
Engineered for efficiency, the sources say.
Very much so. Yeah. And that efficiency often means biotech.
Right. Like 96% of U.S. soy is genetically engineered for herbicide tolerance, mostly.
Yeah, which leads to this reliance on chemicals like glyphosate sort of baked into the system.
Which has implications, obviously, for the environment.
Big implications. Yeah. And then comes the processing, what they call the great crush.
Okay.
Raw beans get processed usually using hexane.
Hexane. That sounds familiar. Isn't that a neurotoxin?
It is, yeah. Can affect the nervous system. Mm-hmm. And traces can end up in food products, often without specific labeling.
Wow. And this crush separates it out.
Into protein-rich meal. That's actually about 70% of the bean's value in the oil.
Okay. And here's the part that really jumped out at me from the sources. Most of this meal, it's not for us directly, is it?
Not at all, primarily. We're talking 70, maybe 77% globally goes into animal feed.
And even higher in the U.S., like over 90%.
That's right. For chickens, pigs, cattle, even farmed fish.
So basically, soy demand is just. It's a stand-in for how much meat the world wants to eat.
It's a very direct proxy, yes. And that scale has a massive planetary footprint.
Let's talk about that. The Amazon soy moratorium gets mentioned. It worked, sort of.
It did reduce direct deforestation for soy in the Amazon biome. That's a success. But
there's always a but.
Yeah. It kind of pushed the problem elsewhere. Soy expansion moved heavily into the Cerrado Savannah,
which is hugely biodiverse itself, right? But less protected.
Exactly. And it also led to this practice called cattle laundering.
Okay, what's that?
Soy farms take over existing pasture land, pushing the cattle ranchers deeper into previously untouched forests or savannas. So the soy farm looks clean, but deforestation still happens, just indirectly linked. It shifts the problem.
Tricky. And beyond the land use, there's the chemical side again. 98% of U.S. soy acreage treated with herbicides.
A huge chemical load. And this connects to some really concerning health findings.
The PNAS study.
Yes. It found a statistically significant association between soy expansion in Brazil and a rise in childhood deaths from acute lymphoblastic leukemia, ALL.
Particularly from contaminated water, it seems.
That appears to be the pathway, yes. Between 2008 and 2019, the study linked 123 childhood deaths under 10 to this expansion.
Wow. Again, association, not proven direct cause, but still, 123 deaths. That's incredibly sobering. A hidden human cost.
Absolutely. It highlights what's often invisible in these long supply chains.
So given all this impact, who's actually controlling this empire?
Well, production is concentrated. Brazil, the U.S., Argentina, they grow about 80% of it all.
And China's the biggest buyer.
By far. Mostly for livestock feed. But the trade itself, the actual buying and selling and moving it around, that's dominated by just a few companies.
The ABCD Group.
That's them. Archer Daniels Midland, Bunge, Cargill, Louis Dreyfus. They control somewhere between 70 and 90% of the global grain trade.
And they're vertically integrated, meaning they own the whole chain.
Pretty much. From storage, transport, processing, distribution, it gives them immense power.
And the market value reflects that power, I guess. $193 billion in 2023.
Roughly, yeah. And projected to grow massively, maybe $388 billion by 2034, driven by that processed GM soy for animal feed.
That kind of money. It makes you wonder about accountability. Have efforts to make soy more sustainable actually worked?
That's where the picture gets pretty bleak, according to the sources. Those corporate pledges for zero net deforestation by 2020,
yeah,
described as a total disaster. They just didn't deliver.
And what about certifications, like the Roundtable on Responsible Soy, RTRS?
Well, it's been heavily criticized. Some call it a smokescreen. One major issue is the credit system.
How does that work?
Companies can buy responsible soy credits without actually changing where their physical soy comes from. So they look good on paper, but the supply chain might not change.
So it decouples the claim from the actual product.
Right. And worse, investigations by groups like EarthSight found RTRS-certified farms that were linked to illegal deforestation.
Oof. So voluntary measures. Not cutting it.
It appears not. The consensus seems to be that self-regulation has largely failed here.
But it's not all doom and gloom. There are alternatives emerging.
Yes, thankfully. Things like regenerative agriculture, no-till farming, using cover crops, more complex crop rotations. These practices can actually restore soil health, improve biodiversity, offer a different path.
So moving forward, what's needed?
The sources point towards, well, stronger measures, binding regulations, not voluntary pledges, radical transparency in supply chains, knowing exactly where things come from.
Financial sector accountability too, presumably, since they fund a lot of this.
Definitely. And accelerating that shift to regenerative practices. But the elephant in the room.
The meat consumption.
Yeah. Ultimately, addressing the sheer demand driven by current levels of global meat consumption is critical. It's maybe the toughest piece.
So, wrapping this up for you listening, the challenge seems clear. Can we transform soy, move it from being this symbol of hidden costs, ecological, social, health, into something that genuinely nourishes, maybe even regenerates? That's the question. A deep dive indeed.